Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
It is time for Stocks to Watch. Yes, and today we're going to be focusing on ComfortDelGro and Thai Beverage. Helping me out this morning is Ong Kang Chuan, who is Research Analyst at CGS CIMB Securities. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot for helping me out with this. So let's dive into it and talk a little bit about some of the notable laggard recovery names that investors can look to position in. Given the fact that we've got a lot of reopenings happening across the region, I'm sure you either have planned or have already started traveling.
Yes, yes.
So what are some of these recovery names that have caught your attention?
Yeah, so we like ComfortDelGro.
Okay.
As well as Thai Beverage.
Right.
We believe they are beneficiaries from the relaxation of COVID measures as well as reopening of economy. We see good risk reward given that both stocks are still currently trading at close to their 3-year lows. Both companies are also rated well in terms of ESG. So we have a target price of 180 for ComfortDelGro and a target price of 90 cents for Thai Beverage.
All right. I want to try and nitpick a little bit just for the fun of it. Talking about ComfortDelGro, I mean, obviously they're benefiting where we see people going back to work and some people trying to readjust in terms of budgeting how much time to put into traveling. But this issue of oil prices, I mean, do you see it as a problem for them?
Yeah. Generally, ComfortDelGro's public bus contracts with governments will allow them to pass on these higher fuel prices. So while there may be a slight lag, as this price indexation will only be carried out on a monthly basis, but essentially, the higher fuel costs are not borne by ComfortDelGro for the bus operations.
Right.
That being said, ComfortDelGro does operate some rail lines in Singapore, though, for example, the Downtown Line, the NEL. So the higher electricity costs as a result of this rising oil prices will have to be borne by the company itself because, as everyone knows, public transport fares are only adjusted annually. But I guess if you view it as an entirety for the group basis, given that their bus operations is much more bigger than the rail operations, we expect a pretty minimal impact from the rising oil prices overall.
Okay. What about competition-wise? I mean, against the private hire platforms, I want to talk about some of the steps they've taken to compete or put themselves in a better position. One of the things I noticed is like the ComfortDelGro app is a lot smoother, a lot better, easier to use now. What are some things that you've observed?
Yeah, so over the past few years, we have noticed that ComfortDelGro has indeed been impacted by the rise of private hire platforms in Singapore. So currently, taxi fleet size is only at about 9,000, which is quite significantly below where it was a few years back. But definitely, ComfortDelGro has been putting in a lot more effort to try to maintain their market share or to compete better against the private hire players. I think you have observed that they have redesigned their app. I think recently there's also been, you know, a slight change in strategy by the ComfortDelGro management for this taxi segment. I think they now believe that instead of, you know, viewing taxi and private ride hailing as two separate businesses where, you know, trying to fend against each other, they should look at both services as essentially point-to-point transport service. And so going forward, I think ComfortDelGro plans to add more private hire cars onto its platform to supplement its taxi fleet at a pretty cautious manner in order not to cannibalize its earnings of its taxi drivers.
Yeah.
It is currently keeping the fixed costs for taxi drivers lower in order to make it more comparable to a private hire vehicle rentals, but in turn, introducing a booking charge for rides that were initiated through its apps. So we think such changes will allow ComfortDelGro to compete better against private hire platforms, which are currently charging much higher booking fees.
Yeah, that would benefit consumers as well, because right now we can speculate that it's oil prices, but it also tends to feel like there are lesser of these private hire cars out there, and hence the price is going up. You get more of these guys on board, we should benefit in some way, I think, right?
Yeah. Hopefully with, you know, driver supplies recovering, our fares can normalize slightly, you know, in the later part of the year.
Yeah, I can hear your pain, actually. Kang Chuan, let's talk a little bit about Thai Beverage. I want to talk and discuss a little bit more about why you think they're benefiting, but isn't there an impact from higher barley prices as well?
Sure. Yeah, so generally, sales volume for Thai Beverage, we see that they have already recovered pretty well in the first quarter of this year with economic reopening in Thailand and Vietnam.
Okay.
So we expect further volume recovery in coming quarters as Thailand reopens further. So we noticed that since April, more provinces have been redesignated from their orange zone to yellow or blue zones, which means that more eateries are now allowed to sell alcohol on premise. Thailand has also started to allow, you know, gradual reopening of bars and other entertainment venues starting June, starting with key tourist destinations. So we believe that that will also help drive volume recovery as well. Meanwhile, if you look at Vietnam, they have generally been reopening at a much faster pace compared to Thailand this year.
Okay.
Just looking at the industry sales volume for the first 5 months of this year, we are currently already sort of surpassing the run rate of 2019 levels. So that's quite exciting.
But about the barley prices, you think that's enough of a reopening to sort of mitigate that kind of pressure, mitigate the cost in that sense?
Yeah, so generally there are two key alcoholic segments under Thai beverage.
Right.
You have the spirit segment as well as the beer segment. So higher barley prices as a result of the Russia-Ukraine conflict will mainly impact the beer segment, which is a relatively smaller segment at about 30% EBITDA contribution. On the other hand, the spirit segment, which contributes about 60% of Thai Bev's EBITDA, mainly uses molasses, which are locally produced in Thailand. And prices for molasses are actually lower on a year-on-year basis. There are also other mitigating factors that ThaiBev has introduced to uphold margins in view of this higher cost environment. So, for example, they have raised prices of their alcoholic beverages. They are continuing to drive premiumization trend within their product offerings. They are also trying to drive higher recycling rate of, you know, the bottles to cut down on packaging costs, as well as a lot of, you know, general production efficiency optimization, etc. So we believe that ThaiBev can still achieve about 15% net profit growth this year.
All right. We've been speaking with Ong Kang Chuan, who is research analyst at CGS CIMB Securities. Really appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.